Ontario Premier Doug Ford threatened that Canadians would remove Prime Minister Justin Trudeau from office if he doesn't eliminate the recently increased carbon tax.
Queen's University introduced a lottery system for medical school admissions to enhance diversity in an effort to fast-track admissions for Black and Indigenous students.
Pro-Palestinian protests in Toronto led to clashes with police and multiple arrests after demonstrators made inflammatory statements and the event turned unruly. Hello, Canada. It's Thursday, April 4th, and this is the True North Daily Brief. I'm Cosmin Jurja.
And I'm Noah Jarvis.
We've got you covered with all the news you need to know. Let's discuss the top stories of the day and the True North exclusives you won't hear anywhere else. If Justin Trudeau doesn't get rid of the carbon tax, Canadians will get rid of him. That was the message from Ontario Premier Doug Ford on the heels of a hike to the beleaguered tax. Ford had harsh words for Trudeau at a press conference Tuesday, one day after the Liberals raised the carbon tax by 23%, against the urging of premiers of every political stripe, costing Canadians 17.06 cents more per liter of gas. At his own press conference Monday, Trudeau defended his carbon tax hike. He said the carbon tax may be rising, but so is the rebate. Ford said that doesn't cut it. This isn't the first time they've raised the carbon tax, but it couldn't come at a worse time, Ford said, at a time when the cost of living has never been higher. The premier said his government has been fighting against the federal carbon tax for years, having taken the Trudeau government to court over the policy. The Supreme Court of Canada ultimately upheld it. So, Noah, it seems that Doug Ford has challenged the Trudeau government on the carbon tax. In other areas, I found that Ford seems to stand with the Prime Minister. Is the Ontario Premier's challenge here genuine in your view, Noah?
Well, it would be genuine if you believe that anything Premier Doug Ford did or said politically is genuine. And I think to some extent it is genuine because since the beginning, Premier Doug Ford was opposed to the carbon tax. If you remember years ago on the Maclean's magazine when Andrew Scheer was still the conservative leader, and I think Brian Pallister Jason Kenney was still premier. They all came together, did a photo shoot for a magazine and, you know, came out as the opposition and, you know, and expressed their opposition to the carbon tax. And it is a position that he has consistently taken. However, I think on other issues, Premier Doug Ford is more than happy to collaborate with Justin Trudeau, to work together, to spend taxpayer dollars on multi-billion-dollar car factories in which foreign workers are the ones who are employed there instead of actually benefiting the community. So I think that Doug Ford is an opportunist. He will look for opportunities to collaborate with Justin Trudeau when it fits his narrative. And in other times, he will look to bash the prime minister when it also helps him politically. He, I think, more than most politicians, it drives his decision-making based on the polls. So he sees that the carbon tax is an unpopular policy. I believe some polls peg about 70% of Canadians in opposition to the carbon tax. So it is something that any politician would be prudent in opposing, and that prudent nature clearly evades Justin Trudeau.
I mean, why doesn't he just stop collecting the carbon tax altogether, as other premiers have moved to do? Because the relief that provinces can provide to Canadians isn't that much. I mean, Ontario has extended its tax cut. They did a gasoline tax cut in July 2022, and it's just about 5.7 cents, but gas has gone up like a crazy amount due to the hike on April 1st, and it doesn't really offset that. So I'm just wondering, why doesn't he just stop collecting it altogether?
I think the explanation that some premiers have given to not follow the same tact as Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe is doing in making sure that Sask Energy does not pay the federal government its carbon tax. The reason why they're doing that is because the energy providers in most provinces are private, and Ontario Hydro One is privately owned. And I know Premier Danielle Smith in the past has said that to ask private companies not to pay the carbon tax and to break federal law is a tough ask, quite frankly. So I kind of understand why, but at the same time, I think that premiers should do everything within their power to ensure that the federal government keeps its sticky fingers off of the money of their citizens, off of the money of their constituents, because at the end of the day, they ought to serve their constituents. And many premiers have come out in opposition to the carbon tax. I believe 7 out of 10 premiers, and Premier Wob Kanu has definitely danced around the issue of whether or not he asked Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to not spike the hike, as Pierre Poilievre would say. And a couple other premiers have actually went and to committee for the federal government and implored the federal government to not raise the carbon tax, which they did a few days ago. So I think that premiers ought to do everything in their power to ensure that their constituents are insulated from the cost of living hike that the carbon tax presents to its constituents. And if they are able to, I think they should refuse to remit the carbon tax to the federal government. Queen's University has unveiled a lottery system for its medical school admissions process, claiming that the new process will help address equity issues on a broad scale. The new admissions process builds on an existing pathway that supported recruiting Black and Indigenous high school students on an accelerated track. In a press release issued Tuesday, the university claimed that inflated thresholds intended to manage applicant volume and emphasize extracurricular or volunteer activities disadvantage certain groups either due to inherent biases with the required tests or by favoring the privilege required to build one's application package. Dr. Jane Philpott, Dean of Health Sciences, said that the thousands of applicants who would make excellent doctors will be given an equal opportunity to be selected for the interview stage. Quote, "This will help level the playing field for prospective students," she said. Queen's University's new MD program admissions process will still set admissions thresholds for grade points averages, medical college admissions test scores, and a situational judgment test score at levels that align with the potential for predicting success in medical school. All applicants who meet the thresholds will be entered into a lottery to determine who will be invited to interviews. So, Cosmin, I think that people in the past have expressed concern with DEI measures being introduced into universities, especially in professions that are very sensitive when it comes to public health, whether that be doctors or otherwise. For example, for an architect who is accepted into an architecture program on a DEI basis, and perhaps they're underqualified and they go into the workforce and they build a building that is a unstable or is unsafe. So, why do you believe that these universities are making and prioritizing DEI to the point where they are failing to properly vet certain students who may not be qualified for the program? And what do you believe, and how do you believe that Canadians should feel about these sorts of programs?
Well, look, diversity, equity, and inclusion ideology is antithetical to meritocracy. They've openly said this. When you look at the way that DEI is set up, it does not actually award merit or people's abilities. It just simply recognizes what it calls, minority status and so-called disadvantages in life. But that doesn't actually mean that the people who are forwarded by these programs are actually capable of doing what they stayed out to do. And merit as a system, although it has its flaws, is the best thing we can rely on, especially when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to training highly specialized people like doctors to provide a service to Canadians. And if that goes wrong, if we pick the wrong people who are not actually capable of doing this, then the outcomes are terrible. The consequences are going to be huge because we're talking about people's lives here. Pro-Palestinian protesters rocked Toronto streets over the weekend as demonstrators made inflammatory statements and clashed with police. Toronto police were prompted to arrest several protesters after the demonstration became unruly. This past weekend, Toronto's Palestinian youth movement rallied hundreds of protesters in the city's downtown core to acknowledge, quote, Land Day. The Palestinian political day of observance marks the 48th anniversary of the Israeli government's decision to confiscate a section of land for state purposes. At the protest, demonstrators could be heard yelling pro-Palestinian slogans like, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free," a slogan that Jewish organizations condemn as extreme and anti-Semitic, as it refers to the erasure of the nation of Israel. Footage from the protest shows the notorious Palestinian protest organizer Naveed Awan calling for his fellow demonstrators to hold those accountable for failing to support the Palestinian cause, even at synagogues. Deputy Conservative Party of Canada leader Melissa Lantzman denounced the rhetoric while putting out a wake-up call for Canadians. As the protests grew more and more disorderly, the Toronto police attempted to control the protests by denying access to counter-protesters and limiting where demonstrators could march. However, the situation quickly devolved as the police were forced to arrest several ill-behaved protesters who had allegedly attacked the police. Toronto police arrested 24-year-old Asya Rami, among others, who was charged with assault of a peace officer with a weapon for allegedly throwing horse manure at several officers. Noah, you're in Toronto. Do you see these protests getting out of hand further in the future, or do you suspect that they're going to simmer down?
I think the further and further away we stray from October 7th, the more and more these Palestinian protests will be filled with radicals. And the reason why I say that is because the further and further we get away from October 7th, the less and less people are going to care about the Israel-Palestine conflict, because there's only for so long that you could care about a foreign conflict, just like the Ukraine-Russia conflict. In the first few months, it was all everything anyone would talk about. And now people don't really talk about it much because there is somewhat of a stalemate in that conflict. So the longer that these pro-Palestine protests pop up, I think the more and more radical they will become, because these are going to be very true believers who ardently defend, you know, pro-Palestinian rhetoric. And, you know, I think, you know, acts like this are going to become more and more frequent. When you're, you know, a movement and you're throwing horse manure at police officers, it doesn't reflect well upon your movement. And it has not been a fact that has been reported in legacy media reports all too often. It is probably the last line of an article in which they state that, oh, by the way, a couple of protesters were arrested for throwing horse manure at officers. And I think another one tried to spear an officer with a flagpole. So this is definitely not normal behavior. It's not sane behavior. When people amass into a crowd for a common cause, there's a sort of shared conscious that sort of develops that makes people crazy. It makes people want to, you know, break stuff and, you know, attack the police. And as I said, you know, these protests will more than likely grow more and more radical. I mean, already a few months ago, these pro-Palestinian demonstrators, they assembled at Mount Sinai Hospital, which has nothing to do with Israel. It is just a hospital that was originally set up a very long time ago to help out Jewish Torontonians who were discriminated at other hospitals, and I believe it is Jewish owned, yet they demonstrated there, and they also don't mind demonstrating in front of synagogues and just harassing Jewish communities within Toronto. So it has already been bad. Last weekend was a demonstration of how it is getting worse, and it is probably going to get worse. The Canadians need to rely on police officers in order to make sure that these protests don't get out of hand, and to make sure that these protesters aren't going around assaulting everyday civilians who are just minding their own business, because Toronto already has these sort of massive safety concerns on the TTC and in certain neighborhoods. So for another big issue to pop up on the public safety front in Toronto would be a real, real disappointment. And it has already started to happen.
That's it for today, folks. Make sure to check in at www.tnc.news throughout the day for all the news you need to know. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to share our work with your friends and neighbors. And if able, please consider supporting independent media at donate.tnc.news.